Bet on Bears fans, welcome into ESPN's Hard Knocks Recap. ESPN Chicago's Hard Knocks Recap. It's your boy Pat the Designer back at it again, joined by Jason McKee. A lot of excitement on episode two of Hard Knocks, starting off with the fact that most of the world didn't get it until the evening, even though J-Mac is one of the few people still left in the world who have regular cable. J-Mac, you got to see it live. We got to react to this thing. I was a little bit salty.
You gotta be in
that. You got to steal.
You gotta be in the good cable club, man. If you ain't in the good cable club, man, you're gonna have to wait. You're gonna have to wait, man. You gotta be in the good cable club. So I was able to watch it live. Then they're doing a good job. I'm just glad that Bears fans around the world and us in the media world here in Chicago is getting an opportunity to get a more in-depth look of the Bears organization, but not just the organization, its players. And I think, you know, so far, I think Hard Knocks has done a really good job of. Yes, we're going to see practice. Yes, we're going to see, you know, these guys going through drills and preseason games and stuff like that. But I think they did a really good job of, you know, highlighting and showcasing different guys, but not just showcasing them in a football environment. You know, we got an opportunity to see DJ Moore with his family, Keenan Allen with his family, you know, showing the human element side, you know, of their lives. Because at the end of the day, you know, me being a former player, it was like, when I played, when I practiced, I still had to go home and be a dad. I still had to go home and change diapers. I still had to go home and, you know, I still had to buy formula and help with bottles and stuff like that. So you get to see these guys as players, but you also get to see them as regular people and father figures at the same time.
No, yeah, 100%. I thought that there was a lot of good to see in this episode. There was a lot of humanizing of these guys that are icons in this world. Mm-hmm. And I thought that it was very fun. Got to go through some different moments that we had that stood out to us. And, of course, going through the episode as a whole. But let's start it off with our ComEd electric moment of the show. For me, J-Mac, I'll start this one off. Them showcasing the Ian Wheeler story, him being accepted to medical school, accepted to Harvard Medical School, which, listen, I don't know how the medical schools out there rank. I think John Hopkins is one. I think Harvard's up there. One or two somewhere in there, right? But, like, you've been accepted to one of the biggest schools in the country as far as going to study medicine. And you want to pursue your dream. You want to go after your dream. You want to accomplish your dream. And to somebody who has done that in this space, right, being able to come in here and, yes, I was accepted in a different world and I was being successful in a different world, but it's not my dream. It's not me going after it. I really connected with the Ian Wheeler story and seeing, right, the first preseason game, he was dealing with some injuries, so didn't get an opportunity to play. Every single time he has gotten his opportunity to me, he has taken advantage of it. He has showcased something exciting, the speed, the athleticism, the cuts, the fight. I think that the Ian Wheeler story to me, I'd have to go with that as my comment, electric moment of the episode.
Yeah, mine's going to be what they opened up Hard Knocks with, you know, Jonathan Owens and the team getting an opportunity to celebrate his wife, Simone Biles, you know, winning 3 Olympic gold medals at the Olympics, right? And as soon as he stood up and you hear Coach Flew say, speech, speech. And as soon as he stands up, before he can even speak, everybody's clapping and cheering and guys are yelling, USA. Yeah. I mean, that's a huge moment, you know. I know it's football, but it brought football and the Olympics together. And it got an opportunity for him, you know, to talk about his wife and her accomplishments. But it just shows you the chemistry that they're starting to build here up there at Halas Hall, right? Yes, it's his wife. It's the Olympics. It's gymnastics. It's not football, but we're a family. So when our family does something good, when our family does something that's, you know, once in a lifetime or that'll never be replicated again, we're going to celebrate that. We're going to give you time to acknowledge that. So I really like that Coach Flus gave Jonathan Owens that opportunity to celebrate Simone Biles, his wife's, winning 3 gold medals at the Olympics. I think that was awesome.
No, yeah, it was really exciting. I think the one thing that came through in this is exactly what you just said. Mm-hmm. It's the family aspect of it, right? DJ Moore and his moment. We'll talk about all these things, but like you mentioned, right? Just the family inside the stadium, and also inside the locker room, but also the family outside the locker room, and how those two connect. I thought they did a really good job in this second episode of bringing that out. Listen, I think that it's one of those things now where this being our electric moment of the episode, to me, I mean, what are your thoughts on Ian Wheeler right now? Yeah. He feels electric. Yeah. Every time I see him on the field, seeing him out there, seeing him up close, yeah, it felt electric.
Yeah, just when you see him run the ball in terms of the speed, I mean, it's electric. When he gets the ball, he makes electricity happen. And I think the fact that – I love the fact that they got an opportunity to showcase – you know, we talked about this Coach Chad Morton and Ian Wheeler's relationship, right? Ian Wheeler, you're a long shot to make the roster. You're an undrafted guy. I've been in that situation before, right? But Coach Morton is not treating him any different than if he's a guy that's going to be playing for this team, you know, here in the upcoming season. He's coaching him hard, right? He's telling him, hey, you better run through somebody. You're not going to be here long. Hey, Ian, that's not good enough. That's not great. Let's be great today. Hey, you're not low enough going through the shoots and stuff like that. That's great coaching. That's coaching your players hard. But at the same time, when he makes a play, he loves them hard. You know, he congratulates him. Yeah, Ian. Yeah, Ian. Great job, Ian. Great job, Ian. Like, and we know the energy, the electricity that Chad Morton plays with. I mean, that he coaches with. Like, he coaches these guys with passion. And everybody that we spoke to during our time out there at training camp, they talk about Morton, right? The energy that he brings to this running back room. And I think that's something that we didn't always see last year. So the guys are being coach hard. They're being love hard. But the one thing that remains constant is the energy and passion that Coach Morton coaches with on a daily basis.
No, yeah. Before we go into the episode, we do want to let you guys know your company can save money by becoming more energy efficient. In fact, the ComEd Energy Efficient Program can help your business find up to 35% in energy savings, resulting in lower energy costs for its facilities. At ComEd, we're not just moving towards a clean energy future, we're powering the future of your business. Sign up for your free facility assessment at comed.com/poweringbiz. All right, J-Mac, some of the things that I thought to me, just going through the episode and looking at the different moments. First off, have you been to the Museum of Ice Cream? I'd never even heard of this place.
Yeah, I haven't been. I think my wife has actually gone there to the Museum of Ice Cream, but it was pretty cool. You know, I saw when DJ, right, and the guy gave, they made the hot dog ice cream, and then was that real relish that they put on the ice cream?
That was, so the ice cream is hot dog flavor.
That's what they said.
And that is real relish that they threw on there, and I think that was some kind of mustard that went on top, maybe a Dijon mustard. Yes. What the heck was that?
I'm not even trying that. Like, I mean, I I'm from the South, right, and we fry everything. We fry Twinkies, we fry Oreos. We'll fry a lot of things, but I'm not eating no hot dog flavored ice cream with real red.
Hold on. How many likes do we got to get on this video for us to go up there and have to try this, bro?
Hey, but did you see his daughter's face though? She was like, mm-mm. And then
I loved that about DJ's daughter. She absolutely steals the show, bro. She and it's so funny because you just see DJ in it. She bites it and she's like, mm-mm. And DJ's like, yo, if I say that this is bad, it's gonna look bad on this place. I'm not finna do that. We on HBO. Bro, DJ was like,
though. Did you see his face when he had to turn away and like he was like,
yeah.
Mm-mm. He was like, no.
No, I thought it was great. Listen, I ain't gonna lie to you. Y'all get this video over 300 likes and I'll go try the hot dog flavored ice cream and video record it. Yeah, I mean, listen, I have to go there anyway because now, like, it just looks like a great spot for family. I have a young child, so I'm like, all right, this looks like a great spot to take your daughter. Looks like a lot of fun. I'd be down for that. The hot dog flavored ice cream is crazy work, though.
Yeah,
that's crazy work. That's dangerous times over there. But if y'all get over 300 likes on this video, I'll mess with it. I thought something else that really stood out to me in this when you're talking about kind of, you know, getting that inside look is the relationship that you saw between the coaches and the players. And we saw a little bit of that in the first episode of Hard Knocks, but you brought it up, right? The relationship with Chad Morton, with Ian Wheeler, and how Ian Wheeler talked about at the end, you know, oh, yeah, he's got this tough love thing, but he'll come over there and tell you, you know, I was a good play. Don't tell nobody I told you that. How do you balance? Are you that kind of coach with your kids at Carmel? Or do you feel like you have to have that tough love with them? And how do you balance, you know, kind of what we saw in the episode that way?
Yeah, it's the same thing. As a coach, you're going to coach these kids hard, right? You're going to make sure that you don't overlook any detail because you want them to be successful. And as a coach, you know, our job is to put these players in positions to succeed, right? And if you're not doing that, sometimes you got to overcoach to make sure that you're getting the fine details of everything that you're trying to get across through to your players, right? But at the same time, you have to give them praise. You know, you can't just beat them down all the time. And the thing is, like, you got to really know your personnel as a coach as well, right? Coach Morton understands, like, he's got to learn, you know, what are the effective ways of me coaching Ian Willard? I may be able to yell at Ian, but I may not be able to yell at Khalil Herbert because he may not be receptive of me yelling at him. So right. You really got to know your personnel as a coach and how to reach each individual player, because each individual player responds to coaching in different ways. But at the same time, regardless of who you're talking to, you have to give them praise. You got to acknowledge the little details or the little things that they're doing well. A great catch, a great block, a good aiming point, a great way to run behind your pads and get low running through, you know, running through contact and stuff like that. So, you know, you got to have a tight knit room, and the more love that you show your players, right, the better they're going to perform for you. But some players, you know, they want to be coach hard. So you can't let little things go because they want to be great as well. And they have to be great. Ian has to be great to make this roster. And, you know, he's put his best foot forward, you know, in this Buffalo game of achieving that goal.
Yeah, no, I agree with it. It's I think that, and of course you see it in the Buffalo game, but like, I think that Ian Wheeler is going to be one of those guys that, because of how loaded this running back room is, it's going to be a little bit tough for him to make the team. And they kind of, you know, talk about that in this episode as well. Yeah. But I think that he's going to be one of those guys who his dream doesn't end if it doesn't happen right now with the Chicago Bears. If he chooses to continue to be an NFL running back, he's got the skill set, he's got the talent, he's got great coaching around him that can help him become that. I thought something else that was really good to point out that to take a look at was the battle between Keenan Allen and Jalen Johnson that was, you know, depicted in this episode. And I'm not going to lie, pulling the curtain back, right? Because I get to be in these press conferences. The answer that they put out there was my answer when I asked them a question, but I didn't get my question on hard. And I felt a little some type of way on that, J-Mac. I'm not going to lie. I wasn't mad, but I was a little disappointed.
Yeah, I had a lot of moments like that. You know, Larry Mayer, who is the senior writer for ChicagoBears.com. So I interviewed Austin Booker right after the game on the field. Larry Mayer's right there with his recorder recording, you know, my interview. And right. I'm like, okay, first I see, you know, I'm like, okay, they got Austin Booker. I'm about to be on Hard Knocks interviewing him after the game, because during the game, they were right there next to me with the microphone, the camera. So I'm like, I might be on Hard Knocks this week. And I'm looking, I'm waiting, and they cut away and they show Larry Mayer walking off the field with him and the Bears head of security, my guy Tarpey. And I'm like, well, where'd my interview go? It wasn't good. Like, where's my interview? So I felt some kind of way Hard Knocks about that, but
what's the beef with us, dog? I think we put on a good show. We do a good job out here. What's going on with that?
They're going to be in front of the camera nonstop. They're going to be trying to film plays, and I'm going to be like this in front of the camera nonstop from now on.
I love what Jeff Joniak told you last night. You just got to go out there and start teaching Kari Blasingame some different fullback moves that he already knows, but just go out there and show him just to get on the camera.
Me and Kari, like, coming out at halftime, we did have a conversation on the sideline. He came up to me, and he was done playing at that point. But we were talking about we were going over some of the plays in the game, and I was, you know, giving him some tips and pointers and stuff like that. And he was asking me questions, and I was going over that. And Hard Knocks was right there too. Like, they just don't want to show fullbacks love, and I that's the only bone I got to pick about this episode. Like, you got to give the fullbacks a bone every now and then.
Fullbacks, there's not getting no love out here, bro. That's crazy, man. We got to change the world, man. We got to change the world. I thought maybe the best. One of the better moments that was like the behind the scenes moment, and which is why people come to Hard Knocks, right? Was Rome when he was two moments for with Rome. Rome when he was talking with, I think they were ninth graders. Yeah. He was talking about y'all just beginning y'all football jersey, and something that not only have we seen him at practice do, but him also preaching that to those youngsters, you know, saying the Kobe quote, I never took a shot that I didn't already practice 1,000 times. And I mean, you see that with all of these guys up here. I was talking yesterday with Sylvie about Keenan Allen and how, you know, Keenan Allen looks like he's making things more difficult on himself, trying to catch a ball that he comes down with and he could have caught easily. But then you think about it, and it's like, but that's why in those moments in the game, when somebody's trying to push Keenan Allen out of bounds, he can toe tap in and be able to still get that touchdown. That's why in those moments, right, you see Rome Odunze have the wherewithal in that first Buffalo Bills game to say, I need to turn into a DB on this first pass and knock this down. I thought the other moment there that was really good was also him after the Caleb pass. where they're working through it. They're talking through some of the things, saying, hey, look, this is what I see. This is what you see. This is that we need to be on the same page on this. What do you want me to do? And having the willingness, because Rome could be like, well, I like going underneath here better than I like going to the back of the pylon there. But he's having the willingness to open up to his quarterback and say, hey, however you want to throw it, I'll get there. You just tell me where to go.
Yeah, and those conversations happen all the time on the sideline. You know, that's something that fans don't get to hear being in the stands. But those conversations between quarterback, receiver, you know, quarterback, running back, running backs with the offensive line, those take place after every series, you know, with the coach or amongst each other, in-game adjustments that you have to make, little details and nuances. And it's good to see that you have two young guys in Rome and Caleb trying to get on the same page, trying to get a feel for each other, right? They didn't play with each other in college. So, yeah, they were still drafted here to change the tides of the franchise, but they're still trying to get a feel for each other. And another thing, too, you talked about the great ones making things more difficult on them in practice, so that way it's easy in the game, right? Look at Caleb Williams. You know, when he came out for warm-ups, and he's throwing the ball from different arm angles, right? And then they showed that great series of plays on Hard Knocks, in which, I mean, he had the big pass to Keenan but DJ on third down. Then he rolls out and throws a laser to Cole Kmet. You know what I'm saying? Then it's the no-look pass on the screen to not the no-look pass. He said it wasn't a no-look pass. It looked like it was on the screen to DeAndre Swift.
Hey, from every angle, it looks like a no-look pass.
I was right there in the back. I was right there, and it looked like he just, you know, no-looked it, and it was a right pass. But, like, he practices all of that stuff in his pregame warm-up, you know, all those different arm angles. So that way in the game, it's just reaction, and he's more accurate. So I thought that was good that they showcased Rome, you know, a young guy in the league giving back to young guys just starting their high school football career. And you never know what you say or what conversations you have with a young athlete, how that's going to change their trajectory of their lives, you know, in football.
No, 100%. I thought there were some really good things there. And just those small conversations, I think back to, you know, some of the conversations that people have had with me in my career where they think they're just talking. Meanwhile, you're sitting there and you're taking in gems.
Yeah.
You're sitting there and you're like, let me add that nugget into my life. Even, right, like I think about even some of the interviews Caleb has done. One of the things that he does with his note screen is his lock screen, right? For me, I don't have it as my lock screen because I like to look at my family when I turn my phone on. But every time on my homepage, when I open my phone, my note screen is my goals. You know what I mean? And that's right on the homepage. So I think that, like, you don't realize what those small nuggets could mean to somebody else. And that's really cool to see Rome giving back in that way and having a willingness to do that in that way. Let's keep this thing moving along, J-Mac. Let's get into our ComEd moment of light. What was your ComEd moment of light, J-Mac? What was the thing that was like you didn't know about the team coming in that you now know about this team coming out of episode 2 of Hard Knocks?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things. Obviously, I'm there, so I know a lot of things. I'm right there and travel with.
Yeah,
I know a lot of things. I'm going to say, you know, it's not going to be my moment of light. It's going to be one of my biggest takeaways, right? And it's the involvement of Ryan Poles, right? So during the Bills game, the preseason game, he was on the sideline the whole time. Most GMs are up in the box. They're watching the game. We're standing right next to each other the whole game. But you also saw how involved he is in this episode of Hard Knocks, right? He's watching practice film, him and Ian Cunningham. He's in his office. His office is fire, by the way. That office is nice, by the way.
It's a great office, bro. I need one.
But they're watching film, right? And he's analyzing Caleb, right? And he tells Ian Cunningham, right? We see them watching practice, sitting next to each other. And he says, hey, he says, Caleb looks different today, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And Ian's like, what do you mean? He's like, he just looks different. Like, he's getting a grasp. He feels more comfortable. You know what I mean? So, you know, Ryan Poles has his hands all over this thing. You know, these are his guys he drafted. He's watching practice film. He's checking the progression of their development and all that stuff. So I think it's awesome, man, to see that we got to see that interaction between those two decision makers in this organization.
No, 100%. I thought it was so cool. And I don't know how often or how much GMs sit there and watch tape. I would assume it's quite a bit, but it's that focus on, I want to make sure that we're doing things right. When you're watching tape that much, you can see the same deficiencies that fans are seeing on the field. You can see the same deficiencies or the spots that you're strongest when you're watching tape like that. I mean, like, That looked like he was watching tape. I don't know if out the window they were practicing, but it looked like he was watching it during practice. So, you know, like, he, always keeping himself informed. I love that about Ryan Poles. For me, my moment of light this week was Coach Flus and I think that was Coach Waldron in there teaching Caleb about the refs that he's going to have to deal with. I thought that that was absolutely genius. I don't know if that happened while Justin Fields was here, but I think coming off of the Justin Fields era, you know, an era where he consistently got hit late after the whistle, he consistently took some cheap shots, you know, there was all of these things that led up to it. You don't want to do that with Caleb. You don't want to have to deal with that with Caleb. Teach this guy how to go out there, who the refs are, the background of the refs, so that they can talk, they can get kind of that camaraderie there, because that's what I always think about, right, when you get those NFL mic'd up moments, and it's the first thing I thought about here, when Tom Brady or when Peyton Manning or when Aaron Rodgers is yelling at a referee, they're yelling at a referee calling their name. Yeah. They're not usually calling just like ref. They're like, Tom, you know you can't make that call. You know you need to throw the flag there, which means there's a personal relationship between them, which it doesn't have to be in depth. It could be a on the surface relationship or a work relationship, right? But there's something built there that as a quarterback, I mean, I would assume that that adds to whether you're getting calls or not getting calls, whether they like you or not. It shouldn't play into it. But listen, we've seen how maybe they don't rock with you. You might not get that call.
Yeah, and when I was with the Ravens, you know, Coach John Harbaugh, he did the same thing, but he did it with the entire team. He did it in a team meeting, mm-hmm. right? And he would have the percentage in terms of what type of flags the refs were throwing. So he would break down, okay, they call pass interference, you know, 60% of the time. So the DBs knew that they weren't going to be able to get away with a lot of things, you know what I'm saying, because it was a 60% chance they were going to throw that flag. He did it with the team. Right. So we kind of knew going in, you know, we knew, like, you know, just like we saw the refs' names and stuff like that, a little bit of the background in which they disclosed in this episode. But at the same time, he gave you tips in which, okay, I've got to make sure my hands are inside because the refs, they're going to call holding 70% of the time. You know what I mean? If we're blocking on offense. So I think it's huge. I'm glad they're doing that. And the main thing they were talking about, you know, they said, hey, you're going to play in this league for a long time. They're giving him that validation. They're giving him that positive encouragement. Hey, yeah. You're going to be a star. We're going to develop you, not just on the field, in terms of the relationship with the refs. There's not going to be any detail, you know, left, which we haven't discussed or gone over. So I really like that they went through that with Caleb.
How much does that change your game plan as a player, right? Like knowing, you know, like you're not going to change everything about who you are, but knowing, you know, that they might call holding on this play a little bit more, so you got to change how you're blocking, or, you know, they might call a PI on this. So like you said, the DBs have to play a little bit looser maybe. Like, how much does that change your game plan and affect your game going into
it? It don't affect the game plan because the calls are the calls. It's going to affect your technique and fundamentals in terms of what you're doing. You know what I mean? So if I'm blocking, right, I know that I can't be sloppy and get my hands outside of the frame on a defender because – if we went over in that meeting, there's a 70% chance they're going to call holding. So I know my hands got to be inside the frame of my defender, right? Same thing from a DB standpoint. You know, I know that I can't be real handsy on a receiver because there's a chance it's going to be PI. They're going to call it. You know what I mean? So you got to be, you know, going into a game, I can't be sloppy. I've got to be clean in terms of my technique and fundamentals. So, you know, those are things you're going to work on even more in practice. I mean, as a pro, you're always going to chase perfection in terms of your fundamentals and technique, but you know you've got to be even more on point because the ref's going to throw that flag.
So does it more so affect you when you know there's a refereeing crew that's going to let you play and you like, oh, you're not getting anywhere. I'm holding this jersey all day.
You just know, hey, you're going to go out there and play hard regardless. And, you know, you be outside. But, you know, if my hand gets out of the frame on that linebacker, right, we're running a sweep. You know, I know I got to look around because I know there's probably going to be a flag somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm aware of it.
So. No, for sure. For sure. Hey, before we get into what we want to see next week, we got to hear one more message from our friends over at ComEd, our sponsors over at ComEd. Shout out to ComEd for supporting the Hard Knocks recap. J-Mac, take it away.
Yeah, more business across Northern Illinois are partnering with the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program to save on energy costs. Get started with a free ComEd facility assessment to find new ways to control your bottom line. Learn more at ComEd.com, powering biz.
Shout out to ComEd for supporting this episode, man. Appreciate ComEd for being a part of the podcast. We thank them for getting this thing off of the ground. And we're going to have this for as long as there's Hard Knocks. What do we got? We got four more episodes of Hard Knocks, I believe.
Yeah, and I'm going
to be
on there. I'm going to be
J-Mac said, I'm getting a cameo. I got four episodes to get this in. No. I'm getting a cameo. I love it. I absolutely love it.
One thing that I really want to talk about, too, and, you know, we got to see Bayless Jones, right? Bayless Jones has faced so much criticism and scrutiny, and he's brought it on, you know, himself because he's been up and down in terms of his play. But we got to see him, you know, from a running back standpoint, and we got to see, you know, there was a clip in which all the coaches are discussing personnel and they start talking about Bayless making a switch to running back. And Chad Morton has the floor in that meeting. And he says, you know what? Bayless is, you know, he's got the athleticism. He's been a great addition to the room. You know, we got to see what he can do. You know, in turn, we can't just have him run on the perimeter. I know me and Pat, we were discussing that a few weeks ago. Hey, got to be able to run inside, even though he's a receiver. And I think Bayless can do that. You know, he's got the stature. He's got the build. He's got the toughness to do it. And we saw some good runs in that preseason game, and I think they really did do a good job. They showcased the good and bad of his Buffalo performance, right? You look at the one play, they're running outside zone, and they show Bayless tripping over his own feet, falling down, and then everybody's like, get up, and he gets up, and, you know, he starts continuing to play. But then we also saw him, you know, muff the kickoff return, which we've seen that here in the past. But then you get a chance to see him ripping off some good runs and getting a touchdown. And him having a conversation with his teammates on the sideline, he's saying, hey, you know what? I've only been at this position a couple of days. I'm still understanding the looks and the reads, but wait till I start getting it. So he's a confident guy. I'm interested to see how, you know, this is going to play out throughout the remainder of the preseason. But you know, he's a great athlete, so I'm glad they made that switch.
I wonder if the switch at all has to do with and I doubt it, but I don't know if I doubt it. I mean, you know, people are watching. I wonder if the switch has to do at all with the fact that you knew that this was going to be a storyline on Hard Knocks. You're showcasing the versatility that he may have. And if there is any team out there that's looking to go out to Bayless Jones, maybe this is a message to 31 other teams. Because I just don't. What's tough for me watching that is Ian Wheeler comes in right after that and you go, that's a running back.
Yeah.
Like when watching Bayless, it looks like a 6 foot tall guy running a football that is fast.
Yeah.
Watching Ian Wheeler, I go, that's a running back. That's a guy that's been playing the position. That's a guy that understands it. I just don't know if Bayless has that much time. But I love the fact, though, the one credit that I will give it to Bayless and to the Bears is this is what pissed me off about the previous regime that was here, because when we saw Cordarrelle Patterson, they're like, he's a wide receiver or he's nothing. And I'm like, this dude's not a wide receiver, guys. Like, I don't know how to tell you this. Like, he can catch a little bit, but he's just better with running the football. Why don't you just at least try him at running back? The Atlanta Falcons went and did it, and he was a phenomenal running back.
Then he went to Atlanta and ran for how many touchdowns did he rush for?
You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I want to commend the Bears, I want to commend Coach Morton, I want to commend Bayless Jones for being open to making that switch, because at a minimum, what's the hurt in trying it? And that's something that I think this regime is really big on, and that you're seeing in Hard Knocks. They're willing to try some things that may not be perceived by the outside as logical.
Yeah, and on this episode, too, I want to talk about as well, you know, as a veteran that played in the NFL and been a part of a lot of rookie shows, right? I was pretty upset. Episode one, the rookie show, that Caleb Williams has been great. He's been phenomenal. His attitude, he's been a good teammate. He's been the complete opposite of what we heard before he came out in the draft. Now,
100%.
Now, the rookie show in episode one was horrible, but we got an opportunity in episode two to see a good rookie show from Rome Odunze. And he sung Chris Brown's song, Kiss Kiss. Now,
oh yeah, Chris Brown, Kiss now, Kiss. Come saying, on now, you know the song, J-Mac. Yeah,
I'm not saying he's going to be on American Idol. He's going on to the next round. But what I will say, it was a good put together rookie show. He had energy. He was rapping. He got his teammates involved. You know what I mean? He got a standing ovation. That's how you do it. It ain't got to be perfect, but we got to show some effort and energy. Like when Caleb did it, it was like he got up there and he was like, didn't know any of the words. Like, how can you pick a song you don't know the words to for the rookie show? I don't understand that. You know what I'm saying? But Rome saved the day. He came through with the rookie show in the second episode.
Did they let Caleb off too easy in the first episode with basically just he didn't know the words and they were just like, whatever, he's the first overall
pick. He didn't know the words. The problem is, like, the words are on the screen and you don't know the word. Like, I mean, if you can't keep up with it, you got to slow it down or you got to do something. Like, or you just got to start dancing to the music. If you don't know the words, you got to do something.
I think Roma Dunze did a nice middle, right? He did like the Theo Benedict enthusiasm, but also kept his clothes on. And listen, at the end of the day, I mean, that's a win right now. That's all I'm looking for out of the last few Hard Knocks episodes here. I don't need to see nobody dropping their pants at the front no more.
I'll tell you what, though. Theo Benedict is going to make himself a star after the – I mean, like, this is crazy. Like,
oh, yeah.
Even when he stood up in front of the offensive meeting and he was just, you know, going through, you know, life at the moment, he said, hey – you know, I got requested for an interview for, was it People Magazine? And then he said,
People Magazine. Yeah. Said, hey, there was I love how he said, one old lady said, my eagle's flying. Yeah. I was like, hey, yo, what's going on, Theo?
He said, I got, what did he say? A 40-year-old lady with two kids said I had nice legs. I mean, he's just a character. But you can tell, like, that's just, I mean, it seems like that's just his natural demeanor. Like, he's just, you know, some people are funny without even trying to be funny. And I know a lot of guys like that, but Theo, he has it. And it's good to see he got hurt in the Hall of Fame game. So hopefully we'll see him back on the field.
I know that of course, right, with the players, there is the best survive. But do you get more of an opportunity if you're that guy that all the coaches like having around? Do you get like a maybe a little bit more of a chance to come back? Because basically, we got the at the beginning of Hard Knocks when they talked about Theo Benedict, he's going to be out pretty much until week one of the season. Does he get to stick around on this team? Because he had a solid showing in the beginning, maybe as that last guy on the roster or a practice squad guy, because the coaches are like, that's a guy I like having around.
Yeah, I mean, I think personality plays a part in terms of the evaluation, in terms of how the fit in the locker room and how you are with the teammates and interacting with your coaches. But just because, like, you know, Coach Morgan, the online coach there, he may love Theo Benedict, you know, because he's a funny guy. He goes about things the right way. But if he's not performing, he's not going to be there. You know, I've seen a lot of guys, like our running back coach Love, but they weren't a fit. You know what I'm saying? They didn't make enough plays or earn a spot on the roster. I know Theo Benedict. I know they like him. I know they like his size and the team that's been, you know, every team's always looking for good O-line depth. They're always looking for good O-linemen to develop. And if they see, if he showed them anything in that first game or throughout his time in practice, he could be a candidate to land on the practice squad. But that'll be all based off of projections and what they can see him being in the future, not just off of his jokes and his personality or his rookie show.
Not just off of dropping your pants. You don't get to stick around when you drop your pants. Let's finish it out here, J-Mac. What do you want to see in next week's episode? What's one thing that hasn't been highlighted yet that you're really looking forward to seeing in next week's episode?
I want to see me on next week. I want to be in there with a microphone. You know, my coworkers, Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer, you hear their voice all over the
place. Hey, they made it. They made it in.
Sounded good too, man. So I'm glad my teammates, you know, our teammates over at ESPN, 1000 sounded good on the broadcast. But no, really, I just want to see, you know, I would love to see them interact with more guys. I feel like, you know, we haven't really had a chance to hear from TJ Edwards or Tremaine Edmonds, any guys like that. You know what I mean? I would love if Javon Dexter was on there. Some of the defensive guys. Let's highlight some. You know, Jalen Johnson, that segment was great. You know, we heard from Jonathan Owens on this episode, but let's hear from some more of the defensive guys. And let's get an O-lineman on there, like, besides Theo. Maybe get Tevin Jenkins on there. Let's put a mic on Darnell Wright, even though he's not like that type of guy in the media. Let's mic see what he talks about on a daily basis at practice.
No, for sure. I think I'm not going to lie to you. More practice, especially with the joint practice this week. I get it. Like, I love all the behind the scenes stuff. I love showcasing the families. I love all of that. But this is the training camp version of Hard Knocks. Yeah. I want to see more training camp. I want to see more of the ins and outs of what guys are doing success-wise or not success-wise at camp. I want to see more of the, you know, some of the ups and downs stuff. And I feel like, you know, last episode we got a little bit more of that. The first episode we got basically none of it. And you know, hopefully in episode three, like, show me a ton from this joint practice. This should be the focal point of this episode. Now, the tough part is, you know, this joint practice may end up getting rained out, so we may have to move inside. I don't know what that's going to mean for both teams being in there. I think that that's going to be tough to have both teams in there, because the Bears barely fit in there when it's just them. So I think that that's going to be a little bit difficult, but we'll see. And to me, I think that showcasing the joint practice, showcasing training camp, like, maybe this was their plan all along. We're going to get some of the personal stuff out of the way and then get more focused in on the training camp part of it when the joint practice comes. I think that the fans will really appreciate seeing that.
Yeah, I agree. It's been good. It's been a treat so far. We're going to keep it going. Hard Knocks episode two was a blast. Looking forward to episode three next week.
And HBO, make sure y'all drop it on streaming at 8 o'clock. I'll tell you this, J-Mac, they didn't know what the Wrath of Bears fans meant. I don't know if you saw Bears Twitter going up, but my God,
listen,
HBO had to be scared.
Listen, HBO, I'm not going to mess with you. I have no problems. I watched it fine. I'm not going to bother you. Don't do anything different for me. Like, you know, if anybody needs any pointers on being in the good cable club, you know, you email me, goodcableclub.com. We'll get you right, man. I'm going to watch it live.
Are you the president? Are you the president of the Good Cable Club?
We'll watch it live, man. Good Cable, man. Get your cable right.
J-Mac selling out hood subscriptions. Everybody get a window. You know what I mean?
Get your cable right, man. Pay your bills, man.
Hey, listen, my bills are paid, as has been said, but you know, I'm a cut the cord guy. It didn't work for me for 1 week. I'm good. I'm still doing fine. I get everything else.
Like the great, my father always said, right, growing up in Florida, right, the first bill that was going to be paid was, you're going to pay the AC bill for sure.
For sure.
Energy, ComEd, that bill is going to be paid, right?
That's going to be paid
and
always.
And the cable bill is going to be paid. So that's three bills you got to pay, man. So, hey,
listen, if I got air, I got lights, and I got TV, I can sit inside and have a great day.
You're good to go. You're good to go, man. You're good to go.
Hey, man, we appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love to this first edition of the ComEd ESPN Chicago Bears Hard Knocks Recap. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave that 5-star review. And remember, if y'all get over 300 likes on this YouTube side, I go try that ice cream hot dog, whatever that thing was, with the real relish is crazy. I may have to breathe on that. I don't know about that one.
You got to do it. You already said it.
I'm going to do it, but I'm just saying, the real relish on there is nuts.
Yeah, I'm just going to cheer you on, man. And you know,
a cold hot dog, though. Yeah, like that.
We'll get you some Tums after.
And get some Tums after you. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Red Tide, one love.